Back here on Sportsline, joined now by one of our favorite guests, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, John Manuel, is with us. John, how have you been?
I've been good. Short, nice and warm trip to Orlando. It was shockingly warm down there for the winter meetings, and then I actually came back a little bit early, so I didn't miss out on all the Rule 5 fever, though. We have crazy Rule 5 draft fever, and of course the Orioles, as usual, were active in the Rule 5 draft. I assumed you called for Rule 5 stuff, right? You had Rule 5 fever.
I have Rule 5 fever. Well, if you're the Orioles and you had T.J. McFarland last year, Ryan Flaherty the year before, to me, this is what Dan Duquette lives for. You followed his whole career, Montreal and Boston and now Baltimore. I actually think, you know, if he had limitless funds, he'd rather do it this way. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think he likes nibbling around the edges of his roster when he has stars. He does have the luxury of, I think, some star power in Baltimore. There's not quite a star ace pitcher, and I think that, you know, that would have been the best case this offseason. I suppose you can't say the door's been closed there. I don't think it's likely the Orioles get David Price. I don't think they're one of the teams rumored to get him. And I don't know if I would consider Jeff Samardzija an ace, although he did pitch 200 innings last year and he did have 200 strikeouts. He's still a little rough around the edges. So I don't know if there's really an ace out there for the Orioles to get, but they do have stars. And so I think it kind of leaves Dan Duquette in a position where the best thing he really feels he can do for his team is kind of nibble around the edges of his roster. And in general, in his history, he's been good at that.
Here's the Orioles' top 10 prospect list from Baseball America, John. It goes Kevin Gausman, Dylan Bundy, Hunter Harvey, Eduardo Rodriguez, Jonathan Scope is number 5, Mike Wright, who I like a lot, is number 6, southpaw Tim Barry is 7, right-hander Zachary Davies is 8, number 9 is catcher Chance Sisko, and number 10 is a draft pick from last year as well, and Josh Hart. Very pitcher-heavy at the top, very first-round pick pitcher-heavy at the top, and to me...
I have to correct you real quick. That's actually Baseball Prospectus' top 10, which they released earlier this week.
Oh, sorry.
And that's okay. That's all due respect to those guys. Ours comes out, I think, on Wednesday of next week. So that I did see theirs. Ours has 9 of the same 10 names, so I can, you know, prospects are our prospects. We don't have Zach Davies in our top 10. We don't have Josh Hart in our top 10.
So I'm embarrassed. We do cover, of course, Baseball Prospectus as well, and we talked about from there. But you agree with the names at the top?
I do, although we put Bundy first.
Still?
Him over. Yeah, we did. I mean, I just, you know, you're factoring in ceiling. I think his ceiling is higher than that of Kevin Gausman's. I think he has a, you know, you're looking at a right-handed pitcher. I know we just saw Michael Wacha, and he doesn't throw a lot of breaking balls. And when he does, it's early in the count, and it's he threw a curveball. Nobody was looking for that. You know, those kind of right-handers are extremely rare. And Kevin Gausman's maybe fourth best pitch is his breaking ball. He's got 2 changeups. He's got the fastball. You don't usually see ace right-handers, you know, frontline starters whose fourth pitch is a breaking ball. And Dylan Bundy's got a better breaking ball. And so all things being equal, I would take Dylan Bundy. Obviously, they're not all equal right now. He's not healthy. But the track record of Tommy John surgery is strong. So I feel the consensus is out of 30 organizations that if you could check back with them in 5 years, who would they rather have? They would say Bundy over Gausman.
I disagree, but that's fine. Where do you see Gausman and Bundy finishing in your top 100 prospect list? Are you looking at both in the top 10 or 15?
I would say more in the top 25 rather than 10 to 15.
So Bundy's falling hard.
I would say he's fallen hard. I just think that he's kind of been treading water a little bit. There's stasis. So he hasn't done anything. The only thing that he's done has gotten hurt. So people pass you when that happens. It doesn't mean that he's fallen. It doesn't mean that people can pass you. So, I mean, there's 2 different perspectives, 2 different ways to look at the same thing. But the same thing is that he's been hurt, and while he's been hurt, you know, a year ago this time, Dylan Bundy was the top pitcher out of the 2011 draft. Right now, it's Jose Fernandez. Mm. I mean, there's no question about that.
Of course.
But things change. Not much has changed with Dylan Bundy's outlook. I still think Dylan Bundy's going to be a frontline guy. But Jose Fernandez is skinnier than he used to be. He's in better shape. He matured. And he shoved for a year in the big league. So we have more information. So we don't have really any new information on Dylan Bundy they have a lot of new information on a lot of other players.
I'm a big Kevin Gausman fan, and to me, if the Orioles do nothing this offseason, the entire organization could get bailed out just by Gausman getting very close to his potential and Nick Markakis reverting to his career norms. So we'll see.
I agree. And I also think there's a small chance. I actually talked about this with an Orioles official in Orlando who thought I was onto something. But there's a small chance that Kevin Gausman closes for the Orioles next year. I know they're trying to sign Grant Balfour. I don't think the Orioles want Kevin Gausman to close. I would prefer for him to start. But I'll tell you, he would be very successful as a closer. He's intense. He's a competitor. He's got the two different changeups. So he's got the one he can throw for strikes. He kind of developed during the year last year. He's got that fall off the table kind of split change. And we saw 98, 99 miles an hour. I mean, he has premium velocity. He's got a swing in this, pitching the changeup. We've seen a lot of closers over the years who are fastball changeup guys. He throws strikes. He was much more effective last year out of the relief role than he was as a starter. And it doesn't preclude him in the future moving into a starting role. We've seen that with Adam Wainwright early in his career. Closed on a championship team, then became a frontline starter. So, and the Orioles' window of opportunity is not too long here.
I agree.
Two more years. They got 2 years with Davis and Wieters. If they have enough starting pitching depth and they can't get Balfour or another acceptable closer to replace Jim Johnson, I think they should think long and hard about Gausman in that role because I think he'd be very successful.
Do you like the Orioles' top-tier pitching prospects right now, Gausman, Bundy, Harvey, Rodriguez, Wright, et cetera? Do you think that's a group that matches up pretty well with the rest of baseball right now?
I'm not about the rest of baseball. It matches up in their division. You know, you put it up against, say, Tampa's. But Tampa doesn't have a front-line starter in their pitching staff right now in the minor leagues.
Wow.
Their best pitching prospect is Jake Odorizzi. I think Jake Odorizzi's best-case scenario is that he is a type of an Alex Cobb type, a Jeremy Hellickson type, you know, a 3 or 4 starter, not a front-line guy. That pipeline's drying up. They've drafted very poorly. The only way they can replenish it is to trade, you know, the James Shields and the David Prices every year. You can't do that forever. So they haven't drafted well for 5 years.
Wow.
And that's just a fact. There's a fallacy among major league writers, especially guys on TV, who think the Rays draft and develop well. They don't. They trade very well. They develop well, but they don't draft well. They haven't since 2007. So.
And you would know more than anyone time. Because you've called Durham Bulls games their AAA club forever.
Yeah, it's just a fact. They just haven't drafted well. They're big leaguers since 2007 draft. David Price, they got him in that draft, and they got Matt Moore. Since then, the big leaguers have been Derek Dietrich, Kevin Kiermaier, and Tim Beckham. That's it in 5 years. That's a long drought. So the Orioles, I like Eduardo Rodriguez. I saw him in the Arizona Fall League twice. He was very good in the championship game. Think about that. He was pitching meaningful innings with a team trying to win something. It was only 3 innings, but he was crisp with his location. Quality of his stuff was good. That was innings like 156 through 159 for him, and it was in November. He was still crisp. He was still sharp. He competed. He executed pitches. That's impressive. When you can do that, that means you're pretty close to being big league ready. So I actually like Rodriguez better than the guys at Baseball Prospectus do. I like Hunter Harvey quite a bit. I'm very bullish on him, but I think that Rodriguez's ceiling is not as high as Harvey's, but it's high, and he's already in Double-A, and he's almost big league ready. I like Gausman. I like Mike Wright as a back-of-the-rotation type. So I do like their pitching depth. I like Zach Davies, you know, as a command, location kind of guy. So you know, there is pretty good pitching depth over there. Just not a lot of infield talent. We're a little bit higher on Henry Urrutia than they are at BP. I think Urrutia has a chance to be the left fielder in Baltimore next year. He can hit. I'm not sure that he'll field enough to Buck Showalter's specifications, but you know, this is what the Orioles have done very well that other teams haven't. Under Buck Showalter, they have some player development that happens at the big league level. Guys get better in Baltimore. It's not like the Yankees where you get to New York and then you stop getting better. And that's what happened to a lot of their prospects, like Phil Hughes or Phil Jabba Chamberlain. Those guys had talent. They showed the talent in the big leagues. They just stopped getting better, and that's one thing that I think Buck Showalter does as well or better than any staff, any manager.
Yeah, look at Ian Kennedy. These are all top 100 guys, right? And they go. Some of them go somewhere else and then get better.
They do. Mark Melanson is another great example. Look at what he did this year in Pittsburgh. He was originally drafted by the Yankees. Zach McAllister, originally drafted by the Yankees. He kind of had gotten stasis there. They traded him, and all of a sudden he's a member of the a good staff in Cleveland with a surprise staff. Why? Because everyone else thought they weren't very good. But Zach McAllister was a high draft for the Yankees. So you can find Yankee prospects who thrived elsewhere, like Austin Jackson, to an extent, Jose Tabata. They don't thrive in New York. There's a lot of pressure there, but also Joe Girardi, he's very good at playing the binder and all that kind of stuff, but I don't think they're very good at player development at the big league level, and I definitely don't think Larry Rothschild is good at pitcher development. Outside of Ivan Nova and David Robertson, most of their guys faltered after initially showing you they had big league talent.
And John Manuel from Baseball America is with us here on BAL. In our final minute here, John, the Orioles get Michael Almanzar from the Red Sox organization in the Rule 5 draft, and that's one person I want you to comment on. And then they also get another player in the minor league version of the draft who Dan Duquette said he was very high on and even thought about bringing in this guy even before the Rule 5 draft when he was
Julio
Bourbon when he was available, I guess. So what can you tell us about those two, Bourbon and Almanzar?
Well, Almanzar is the son of a big league pitcher, a right-handed power bat. He reminds me a lot of Tony Blanco, who the Red Sox used to have when Duquette was the GM there. More of a first baseman. He can be really – I think he's going to compete in that Steve Pierce role. He might end up on an outfield corner as well. I think he has less of a chance to stick than McFarland and Flaherty, previous two Rule 5 draft picks. But I do think Bourbon has a chance to stick. You don't have to offer him back to his previous team. You know, again, he played even the Rangers organization when Buck was there. So this is a guy Buck's familiar with. He was a first-round pick out of Tennessee in 2007. He does have tools. Really, his reputation has been lack of aptitude, kind of a knucklehead in terms of his playing acumen and his instincts. But he does have center field tools. I think he can be a fourth or fifth outfielder, and that fills a role and at a very cheap price, $12,000. So, again, Duquette, I think, quite good at nibbling around the edges of his roster.
In 20 seconds here, John, what kind of talent is Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson could have been, in my opinion, quite a good baseball player, but he had a knee injury in college, and so he missed a spring. And Tom O'Brien, the football coach, they really messed up his baseball development and didn't let him play a lot of baseball in college. So he did a little bit of pitching, but he just didn't play enough at NC State. I know the scout who signed him very well, Jay Matthews, and he just swears by him as a person. I think he'll contribute in Texas as a speaker and maybe as a guest speaker there, but I don't see him contributing on the field.
No, neither do I. Just out of curiosity, no one knows more than John Manuel, editor-in-chief of Baseball America. John, let's catch up again soon. We love having you.
I have a great Russell Wilson baseball story, so the next time if you have more
next
than 20
time.
Seconds, I'll share it.
Next time. All right. We can't wait. John Manuel, we could talk ball forever. We'll come back with more next.